Thank you. Actually, a couple of items of business, if I may. Let me borrow the clicker. Abby, would you be the keeper of the clicker for me today? Okay, now look. Here are the slides. Okay? And here are where you transition. They wanted me to do it, but I get so involved in this, I forget to think about it. So, do you see the forward? You can do it. You'll be fine. And if you make a mistake, it's okay. I'll just smack you upside the head and we'll go on. Oh, good. I didn't have your cane. You okay? Will you do this? Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate it. The other little piece of business that I want to take care of is just to say, Mark, you're having entirely too much fun with that grandchild. We're supposed to suffer during church, not enjoy ourselves. So, yeah. And just so that you remember, we are encouraging everyone to sit up close to the front. You did a great job today. Ed and Deborah made a particular effort to let me know they wanted to do that. So these columns are the back of the auditorium. I'm going to give you a pass today, okay? But we want you up here in the front. Isn't it better to be sitting together like this? Don't you feel better and just sound better? And so I want to encourage you to do that. All right. Is a hideously complicated game invented by sadists who enjoy making people suffer and charging them exorbitant fees for the privilege thereof. Do you play golf? I could have played golf, but I chose to become a Christian instead. So, you know, where do you start if you're going to play this game? Do you just go whirl away, or are there some basics? Are there some golf ABCs you can learn? Well, in fact, there are some basics. You know, there's some basics about your grip. A little interlocking grip, see that? You don't pull it like a pool cue. You grip it like, you don't grip it like a baseball bat. You just nice, loose, and right? There's the swing. So you just want a nice, easy swing like this. And there's the rotation. You see those hips? It's my misspent youth dancing the twist when I was young, but you're rotating. You're not, you know, back and forth. You're rotating. And you put it all together, and by the way, I play golf once a decade, so. So, you put it all together, and, oh, did that hit you? Well, if you want to be safe, you shouldn't sit so far up front. Oh, that's another one. Never mind. I say this to you to illustrate a point. If you want to master golf, you've got to start with the basics, with the ABCs. What about being a disciple of Jesus? You know, that too can be complicated. We've made it a lot more complicated than it should have been. But you think about all the things you have to be conscious of as you try to follow Jesus Christ. I mean, there's the Bible. I have a Bible at home. It's like 1,500 pages long. Where do you start with that if you want to be a follower of Jesus? Do you memorize Leviticus? Do you start with Revelation? I mean, Gospels and epistles and books of history and apocalyptic writings, it's overwhelming if you haven't been raised with it. What about church? How do we do church? How do you interact with the leaders of the church? How do you know that you can trust church? How should churches conduct themselves in various situations? It's complicated. And what about lifestyle? As individual disciples of Jesus, how long can our hair be if we're male? How short can our skirt be if we're female? Can we go to watch certain kind of movies? Is it all right to... All the stuff about following Jesus. What about relationships? How do you love other people more than you love yourself? How do you sacrifice for people who might not be willing to sacrifice for you? There is such a need among God's people to go back to the discipleship basics. To figure out what are the ABCs of following Jesus, what are the fundamental skills we can develop so that we're developing good habits, we know what we're doing, and we can master this matter of being the disciples of Jesus. People who are just starting out need that. People who are just beginning their walk with Jesus need some instructions about what the basics are. But you know, people who are starting again as disciples need that as well. You see, some of us have been doing this church thing for decades. And we finally figured out that what we thought was so important really isn't all that important, in fact. That the habits we've developed are the wrong habits. We need to go back and rethink, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What kind of following does he want from us? Jesus went up on a mountainside. You are doing great. He sat down. His disciples came to him. They gathered around him. And he began to teach them. We haven't heard much about the apostles by the fifth chapter of Matthew. All we know is Jesus has kind of gone around Galilee. He's found some people. He said, come and follow me. It's been individual things. It hasn't been Jesus talking to them as a group. But now he's gathering them on a mountainside, and get ready, he's about to speak his first words to them as assembled disciples. Peter's there. James is there. Andrew is there. They've all said, yes, I'll follow you, but they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what the basics are. Remember, these guys, they're new at this following Jesus thing. These are not theologians. These are fishermen and carpenters and bricklayers. These aren't guys who've pored over the Torah texts all their life. These are just some good basic Jews who try to go to synagogue on the Sabbath and make it to Jerusalem for Passover. They know a whole lot more about fishing nets and tax codes than they do about following Jesus. Yes, we're here. Yes, we want to follow you. What does that mean? Where do we start? What are the basics? Peter had to start somewhere. John had to start somewhere. And if they'd been left to themselves, they might have started really badly. Thankfully, Jesus didn't leave them to themselves. He told them where they should begin. So here they are, gathered on this mountainside. They sit down around Jesus, and He begins to teach them. What we have in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10, are the first words Jesus speaks to His disciples as a whole. They're important words. They're words He has been planning to say to them for eternity. These aren't accidental words. These aren't off the top of Jesus' head words. These are carefully chosen words. And in fact, I want to suggest they are defining words, baptizing words, christening words. They're meant to do what I just illustrated for golf. They're meant to show the disciples, here are the basics. Here are the ABCs. If you want to follow me, these are the kind of people I want you to become. If you want to follow me, these are the things I want you to value. And here are His first words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How'd I do? The first words out of Jesus' mouth to His assembled disciples set a bar for what it means to be His disciples. Jesus didn't tell them, I just go read the Old Testament. He said there are eight principles, eight values you need to get if you're going to follow me. He didn't tell them how many times they had to go to synagogue every week. He didn't tell them a lot of things you and I might have told them. He said, here are the essential eight things. If you get this, the rest follows naturally. If you don't get this, the rest doesn't matter. Do you know how poor you are spiritually and your need for God? Do you know how important it is that you repent of your brokenness and take sin seriously? Do you understand that you've been driving your own bus for years now and you keep ending up in the ditch? Will you submit to the will of God? Will you love holy things the way you crave food and drink? Are you willing to have a heart of mercy? Because that's what God has for you. Are you willing to be honest with each other? Because that is how you learn the way God works with you. Do you value peace over being right? Do you value peace over getting your way? Maybe make peace when it's hard? And are you willing to suffer for the right things? Or do you not value the right things that much? Jesus says, here are the eight things that make up the ABCs of following me. He said that to the 12. But I think he had a sense that one day, Matthew, who was sitting there, Matthew might write these words down. And the others later on would read what Matthew wrote. And they would overhear Jesus speaking these words. What if these words are foundational, not just for the apostles, but for us as well? What if they were intended not just to help the first 12 understand what it means to be disciple? What if they were intended to help us understand what it means to be a disciple? I don't know about you, but it seems to me that many of us start out this path of following Jesus without much grounding in the basics. We try to use our club like a pool cue. We swing like a baseball bat. We swivel our hips every which way, but we don't learn to rotate well. It seems to me that when it comes to discipleship, you and I sometimes get thrown in the deep end of the pool. Here, welcome aboard. Now, figure it out. Didn't you feel that way when you were introduced to Jesus and following Him? Sometimes we're welcomed and we're told, glad you're along for the ride. Now, here's, 75 vague principles. Well, just watch, you'll kind of catch on. It's an osmosis thing. I think maybe we think ignorance is bliss. It's the key to discipleship. Other times it's just the opposite. You know, we tell people that come on board to follow Jesus. Now, look, you've got to crook your index finger on your right hand like this. You've got to hold your left hand like this. You've got to stand on your left foot. You've got to put your right foot behind your left knee. And you've got to bend your right... You know, we get everybody contorted because of these 375 rules for being a disciple of Jesus. And we try to shape everybody into... That's not what Jesus did. It's not how He trained disciples. The reality is, there has always been people who are willing to give you bad advice about what it means to follow Jesus. You hear me? In the first century, there were a group of people who were telling the church the most important thing is that you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, then your faith in Jesus will count. Very sincere and very wrong. Turns out that discipleship has little to do with cutting off pieces of your anatomy or making sure you never have a ham sandwich. In the second century, there's a fellow named Montanus who said if you want to really be a disciple of Jesus, you can't marry. You have to starve yourself to the point of death. And you can't possess any things. Very sincere. And lots of people flocked to his cause. But Montanus was dead wrong. You don't have to look like you're wasting away to nothing to be a good follower of Jesus. You don't have to not have an iPhone in order not to be a good disciple of Jesus. Of course, you can't have golf clubs and be a good disciple of Jesus, but it's nothing about possessions. Today, there are people who insist that the most basic thing about discipleship is the position you hold in the morale, or whether you speak in tongues, or which political party you vote for. They'll tell you that the way to discipleship is difficult and esoteric, and only a few will be able to walk the walk. They will make you jump through hoops and walk on coals and embark on searches for the Holy Grail. They'll load you up with molehills posing as mountains. They'll smother you in matters that don't matter. And they will try to convince you that following Jesus is really about conforming to the way we do things, thinking the way we think about things, behaving the way we behave. But it has a whole lot more to do with me than it does with him. They'll be very sincere, very earnest, and they will be very wrong. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what Jesus says about following him. Everybody say, oh! We're going to talk about what Jesus says at the basics, what he defines as the ABCs for being his disciples. We're going to talk about these beautiful beatitudes. We'll be unpacking them one by one over the next 8 to 10 weeks. We'll learn, what does this meekness mean? What does it mean to be pure in heart? And together we're going to be thinking about, oh, this is how you follow Jesus. Oh, this is what it means to be his disciple. Now, I promise you, I'm going to end the sermon eventually while I'm here with you with a call to baptism. I believe in baptism. I think baptism is a critically important starting point if you want to follow Jesus. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
But today, I'm going to end my sermon the way Jesus ended his. He completes the Sermon on the Mount with a parable. Steve, right? Read that parable to us. And the point of the parable is, it's not enough to sit and listen while I teach you about discipleship. You've got to be willing to put my words into practice. If you want a life that withstands the storms that are coming, hear what I say and do what I say, and the winds and waves will not prevail against you. So I want to ask you to do 5 things over the course of our study of the Beatitudes. Number one, yeah, I'm sorry, Abby, I'm changing this last part, so just wing it, okay? You've never listened to a sermon quite so closely as you've listened to this one. Isn't that right? When the pressure is on, people really listen. So that was my nefarious plan to get you engaged with the sermon. So, number one, would you make a commitment to memorize the Beatitudes? Well, yeah, this is kind of the audience participation time. Yeah, would you memorize them with me?
Yes.
Now, let me tell you, if you are high school age or younger, if you have memorized the Beatitudes, and I mean perfectly, out of the New International Version 2010, whatever the latest edition is, if you have memorized them and then come to me and recite them, I will buy you a cup of Starbucks coffee. The what?
Yeah,
you, yeah, you, you'll walk this out in no time. I will buy you, we'll go to Starbucks together, and I will buy you a cup of Starbucks, and if you don't like coffee, this is where you start to learn how. Okay? So now, this doesn't apply to old bearded dudes. This is only if you're a high school student or younger. If you will memorize the Beatitudes with me and prove that you've done so, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. I have a book called Walk This Way that I'd like you to read if you're interested. I'll try to bring some with me the next time I come. Or, you know, Alfonso or Ron, if you want me to mail some up, I'll do that. Can I do that? Do I have some at home? I think I do. Anyway. But it will parallel what we're... In fact, it's got some small group studies in it if you want to use it with your family. It's got some personal study notes that you can kind of dive in and look at that. So, yep, that's it. Pretty good. So, memorize. Read the book. Number three, talk about it. Talk about it with your spouse. Talk about it with a friend. Invite Ron to go to get some coffee and just talk about what you're learning. It's not enough to simply take things in. Sometimes when we have to speak things out, the lesson goes even deeper. Amen. So, memorize, read, talk, measure. I want to be careful with this. I'm not putting you in the judge's seat, but I just want us to develop a different yardstick for what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Somebody who's been at church a long time but does not demonstrate meekness has missed something very important about following Jesus. Somebody who's been a Christian for 40 years but doesn't understand purity of heart has missed something important about following Jesus. Jesus measures our discipleship by these Beatitudes first and foremost. Can we learn how to do that? And then finally, I'll use the word shape. Would you start shaping your disciple life around these Beatitudes? Would you be willing to make a commitment, I want to become more merciful. I want to become more meek. I want to hunger for holy things like I hunger for food. If we'll do that, Jesus will use our desire to create something powerful in our lives. We cannot become this on our own, but by His grace and by His power and by His Spirit, we can become beatitude followers of Jesus. And that, my friends, I believe, are the ABCs of being a Christian. So do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to love Him? Do you want to start your life with Him? These Beatitudes are a pretty good place to start. So too is the obedience of baptism. We'd love nothing more than to immerse you into Jesus Christ, let you die to your old self, let you be raised to walk a new life, and let you become a clean slate where Jesus can write beatitude words on your life. You want to do that, we're going to sing a song, and we would love nothing more than to help you be obedient to Jesus and help you start your life as a disciple. Let's stand and sing. Thank you.